Everyone, please please stay put. We our next session starts at 3. We have time to everyone change sessions then. We want to tell you about the Internet Society that sponsored our live streaming. So if you stay put, if you leave here, there's nowhere to go. So stay put for about 10 minutes. We're going to have a special set of remarks from Internet Society. I'll give you a couple of quick announcements, and we'll carry on. Fantastic, amazing. What a thrill to have Corey here. The videos will be available, of course, in the back. Eventually, it'll be on YouTube, all that sort of thing, but the DVDs are for sale. We do have a Chiptunes concert tonight. You've heard about that. Don't forget. And that's open to the public. The public can get admission and also admission to the pavilion space. So I think a lot of people have been watching the streams. We've been using the streaming to put video in the other rooms, downstairs, back in the Pentop Center. And it's been wonderful. And why has it been wonderful? It's been wonderful thanks to the Internet Society. Internet Society came through after a extended series of discussions, and we're just thrilled to have their extensive support. They've been running the streaming stations, providing the stream to the outside world, providing the stream on site, and we want to thank them for all of that. We're gonna thank them with slides in a moment. Fourth track is happening. There's a lot of fourth track talks going on. You also heard a pitch before about the Hackers Got Talent tonight. Sign-ups on the second floor. And we can mention that there's going to be a movie in this room at midnight. That is Citizen 4. If you haven't seen it before, it's fantastic. That's in this room. Hackers Got Talent down below, next door. Chiptunes down below. A lot of action. This is the late night. But it's also the night to behave. We might have mentioned that New York Police Department was on site last night due to some shenanigans. We like to try to avoid that. So without further ado, and with great thanks, we're going to introduce the Internet Society.
Hi. My name is Jolly, and I don't know if I can get this up here, Andrew, where I can see it while I'm talking. Seems to be okay. So I can't see you, but you know, you've all heard of the internet, right? So how many of you have heard of the Internet Society? No, not very many, which is an extraordinary thing, because without the Internet Society and the people who formed it, you would not have any internet. But before I even start talking about that, I would like to say on the streaming, I just want to do a shout out to Hope Knock, because without the internet, we wouldn't have any streaming, and they're the people giving it to us. Hurricane Electric are the people giving it to us today, and without the lights and the sound, we wouldn't be able to do the stream. So thank you to those people. I'd like to applause for those people. Okay, so the Internet Society, this is what they now say is our slogan. It's dedicated to ensuring that the internet stays open, transparent, and defined by you. This is new, and this logo, which we're using, I've used because it matches the Hope logo, is in fact not to be revealed till next month. I've let it out of the bag. Here is the old logo, you know, which has been going since the Internet Society was formed in 92, and that's our motto, the internet is for everybody. And in the early days of the Internet Society, this was just getting it out to people. That was our work. And here we see, you know, Vince Cerf, who wrote TCPIP with IP on everything. So that was the slogan before the internet for everybody. Just a little bit of history. 1974 was the initial specification, formally published as a standard in 1981. And there, I don't know if you can read it small, but not everybody was ready to change over to it. So in mid-1982, they pulled the other NCP, so that people had no choice except to do TCP/IP. And then they did the switch over in January 1983. A lot of people, you know, some network operators were recalcitrant, but they got over. I don't know if any of you saw this thing that was in The Guardian last week about how the internet was invented. But it turns out that the first, you know, the point of having the internet was it was the Department of Defense, and they wanted to make it so that army units out there in the field, anybody anywhere, could communicate back into the network. So they needed a real test. They had the ARPANET, but they needed a real test where someone just went out like they were in a tank or something and communicated. So, in fact, it was here in a biker bar the Alpine Sun Beer Garden, Rosotti's Beer Garden, on the 27th of August, 1976, that Don Nielsen, the Stanford Research Institute, was able to hook up with Boston and do the first bit of successful internet working. Getting back to the Internet Society, this is old. This was 92, so this was in 2012. We had our 20th anniversary, so next year will be our 25th. I saw someone wearing an EFF 25 T-shirt, so I'm not sure which came first. Here we have Vint, who recorded this in 2012, and if this works for me. Okay, command tab. There we go. Oh, I screwed it up.
That's cost extra to see the duck.
I'm the founding president of the Internet Society, which began operation in January of 1992. But we announced the creation of the Internet Society at an INET conference in June of 1991 in Copenhagen, Denmark. The INET conferences were begun by Larry Landweber. The reason for announcing the creation of the Internet Society was a message that I got from Steve Wolf, who at the time was at the CISE organization, CISE, of the National Science Foundation. They had been sponsoring a secretariat for the Internet Engineering Task Force, which at the time was led by Phil Gross. He and I were both employees of the Corporation for National Research Initiatives, an organization founded by Bob Kahn. It was advised that the NSF didn't want to keep spending money on the Internet Engineering Task Force because that was research funding, and in fact the IETF had become by this time a much more commercially oriented activity with many different vendors who were part of the Internet community were participating in the creation of and evolution of the Internet protocols. So it immediately occurred to me that we would need to create an organization that could gather funding from a variety of sources in order to support the Secretariat. I met with my then colleagues in the Internet Activities Board, later to become the Internet Architecture Board, and described this notion of an Internet society modeled after professional societies elsewhere. And after we got most of the processes organized, I recall that there was a race between Steve Wolf and John Postel to see who could write the first $70 check to become the first member of the Internet Society, and John Postel won. Now, of course, many years have gone by, 20 of them in particular, and we're now celebrating here in Geneva the 20th anniversary of the Internet Society.
Okay, back to the PowerPoint. But it's not advancing. Oh, there it goes. So, you know, he talked about the IETF. So they need an organizational home for the IETF so they could get donations and everything. The NSF didn't want to do it anymore. So that's how it started up. Now, maybe you haven't heard of the Internet Society, but you probably might have heard of the IETF. I doubt if many of you go to that because you would have been in Berlin, like, you know, last week or something, and you wouldn't have made it here. But, the IETF is a loose organization. It started off basically as a mailing list that sets the standards upon which the Internet runs. In 1992, at the same time, David Clark articulated the Internet creed. We reject kings, presidents, and voting. We believe in running code and rough consensus. In that speech, you know, that's well known. In that speech, though, he made some other points, which are good ones. Our best success was not computing, but hooking people together. The hacks of today are the commonplace of tomorrow. Security is a critical problem. What we should do, fix insecure services, passwords. The problem is assigning the correct degree of fear to distant elephants. If we have a problem, it is due to too much success. I don't think that this is dated whatsoever. If you'd like to know more about the ITF, there is a document here, the Tower of the ITF, which tells you everything about it. What Vin's also mentioned was the Internet Architecture Board, and so we still do this at the Internet Society. It just does a bunch of technical stuff, the Internet Engineering Steering Group, Standards Oversight, manages the RFC, does the IANA, liaises with all the other, keeps everybody going there. So in the 90s, the whole problem with the Internet Society, we were getting it established, you know, as was spoken I heard earlier, about, you know, whole countries having 56K kilobits for the whole country, like getting those people hooked up one way or another. And it was a hard slog. And then, like, by about 2000, suddenly from pushing the thing up the hill, it took off and we were kind of, like, running after it to try and keep up. And at the same time, the dot-com crash and some of our funding went away that we'd been getting from people. So we were in a bit of a bind for money. And fortunately, the U.S. government decided, in its wisdom, to take away .org from VeriSign, who had .com and .net. And after a bit of negotiation, we got hold of .org. And we have funding. So when you buy a .org, that money comes to the Internet Society. And that's, in fact, what pays for your streaming today, is people paying for .org registrations. The Public Interest Registry, who have now just started .ngo. Internet governance is what we're very involved in. There have been these various things that have happened in the period that I'll just point out some highlights. The World Conference on Information, whatever it is, the WICKET. So in 98, there was a big decision made at the WICKET, and this is run by the ITU, and that they decided to let people run cables between countries willy-nilly.
3 minutes.
Okay. Cables between countries willy-nilly, and this is what really broke open the internet. This is why you've got the wide open internet is because of that ruling. At the same time, Postel, who was mentioned earlier, was running the DNS out of his garage, and they needed to do something about that, so they formed ICANN to run the DNS as an independent company. In 2005, the WSIS in Tunis the internet grew up outside of the whole structure, and so they're trying to, like, bring it into the structure. So we have these arguments about this. And so the WSIS set up the Internet Governance Forum as a talking shop so that we could still decide how the internet ran. In the WICKET in 2013, a bunch of countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, tried to, like, pull it back into the ITU. We successfully defeated that by walking out. I will have to say that the Republicans, you know, and this is a thing that I wouldn't go into, but who oppose net neutrality because globally we oppose regulation of the internet because we want an open internet. The WSIS is renewed. The IANA transition, as you know, is going on right now, and is the government are defunding it. I'm going to speed up because I'm out of time. We have a program, the Deploy 360 program, which we promote things like IPv6, DNSSEC, and BGP. IPv6, we launched it in 2012. Probably, ultimately, we're going to have to do the same thing they did before, where we disconnect everything else, and then people will have to go to it before anybody will ever get there. Here's our organization, 110 chapters, 140 organizational members, 80K individuals. We've got an interplanetary networking special interest group, which Vint is very active in, which does delay-tolerant networking for, like, going very long distances. We've got a disability and special needs chapter. You see it's minimal for people who are blind. We have a very strong region in Africa. They do a thing called the Africa Peering and Interconnection Forum, which is a very good event that's worth going to if you fancy going to Dar es Salaam at the end of August, where we're setting up. We have a deal with the African Union to set up IXPs in every country. We have a thing called AFCHICS, which is a project that trains women in Africa to be network operators. If you go into the main NOG in Morocco, you'll find that it's all, you know, the personnel are all women. North America region, you might notice that there's not a lot of, these are the chapters in North America, there are big gaps on there. If you come from one of these other places where there isn't a blue dot on there, you might be thinking about forming a chapter. New York chapter, that's me, and we were formed in 97. 501c3, so we can do fiscal sponsorships. The Harlem Internet computer, whatever it was, we hooked up a bunch of old people up in Harlem with computers. HackNY, we sponsored that. And we're just right now doing a deal with NYC Mesh to do a wireless thing in New York. We webcast a whole bunch of meetups. Yep. No, I don't. I have one more. This is upcoming events. We've got a digital privacy meetup, State of the Wire, which is going to be our infrastructure. And this is the one I want to leave you with, which is on October 5th, we're joining up with OWASP and every other cybersecurity group in the city to do this conference October 5th, which if you go to the OWASP table downstairs, they'll tell you all about it. And that's my lot. Thank you very much.